Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
Zoe and Beetle, working to keep you up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if you smelled it.
You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Zoe and Beetle, working to keep you up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if you smelled it.
You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
Noontime on a Friday, Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston is with us on this Finish Strong Friday, presented by 128 Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric, celebrating 29 years of finishing every job strong. They're growing and hiring licensed plumbers and HVAC technicians who can finish every job strong. Apply now at call128.com. Phil, what's happening?
Not much, guys. Just getting ready for a game here. How are you?
Where's your fern?
They moved the fern. It's actually still in the room here, but I'm afraid to move it.
Yeah, no. Move it back. Put it on the table.
I'll get it at the break.
All right. Set it back.
I'll get it at the break.
People enjoy the fern.
They did.
So bring the fern back.
I think you know what's crazy? There's another fern here.
Oh.
They're growing. It's off camera, but there's one on the table.
There's multiple.
I don't know if this is also
what's
a
that?
Fern.
That's
I don't know what that is.
Oh my god.
That's not a fern.
That's like a coronavirus.
I don't know what that is.
It's a coronavirus model.
I couldn't tell you what it is. It's beautiful. Love them both, but I'll try to getting off the horn with Bill Belichick, who talked to us for about a half hour this morning. And about 10 minutes of that was spent on long snapping. It was one of those Friday media interactions with Bill Belichick. So if you were at all nervous about how this game might go down with the Jets on Sunday, I would say it's a pretty good indication that the head coach, at least, is feeling pretty confident.
He's feeling very confident based on his ability to speak for 10 minutes about long snapping.
Well, they're a better team, right?
Was there anything in the 10 minutes that was worth your time on long snapping? Was there anything good in there?
I thought it was interesting. You know, it goes back to Steve DiAssi, and he just talked about the evolution of special teams in general and how even the kickers and the punters, they didn't used to be specialists. They used to play positions as well. And, you know, longtime Patriots fans were well aware of that. Gino Cappelletti and others. And so, look, I do actually, when we get those opportunities to get Bill to be expansive on certain things, even if it's something that I might not be writing about, that we might not be talking about on TV tonight, I do find that stuff interesting. You get a little bit of an interesting history lesson every so often with Bill.
Did he talk about the return game at all? And then maybe J.J. Taylor could potentially be out there instead of Brandon Bolden?
He didn't get into that, funny enough, though. But I know Beadle's been on the J.J. Taylor bandwagon. He might be driving the bus there. I mean, I've been a fan of J.J. Taylor since his Arizona days, and I thought they might try to draft him late. They end up signing him as an undrafted guy. And I wonder if they try to get him in uniform this weekend. It just feels like they could use a little more speed, a little more explosive play potential. And I think he gives you that. Even if you just have him out there for half a dozen snaps, you might be able to break something with him out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I always feel that way with J.J. Taylor. Always. So to me, it's a no-brainer. Get the kid out there. Get him his uniform. Get him on the trip. Let's go.
I'm not even just talking return game. I'm talking about offense. Like, the return game is what it is. You're going to get the ball to 25 pretty much every time. Maybe to 28 if you're lucky, 33. Ooh, whoop-de-doo. I want him in a huddle offset next to Mac Jones on third down. I want him flexed out. I want him put in motion. That stresses and puts pressure on the defense. And that's going to open up, I think, things for other guys. Like, I was going to say Jonnu Smith, but what's it look like here, Phil, at the end of the week with Jonnu Smith being on the injury list with a hip?
That's not a little good. Bit scary.
Yeah, it is.
That's
right?
A little bit scary if you're a Patriots fan. Yeah, we'll see what his availability is like at practice today. But obviously, he's going to be a really significant part of this offense moving forward. And I wrote yesterday about how the Patriots need more from that two tight end package. You know, it was interesting how they played it the other day, where they came out right away and they leaned on it heavy. They went 12 of their first 16 snaps against the Dolphins, had both Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith on the field. And then they sort of got away from it as they went on. So 75% two tight ends on the field in the first quarter. The rest of the game, those two guys were on the field together for only about 40% of the snaps. And when I went back and looked at it and watched it a little bit more closely, I wonder if that was an adjustment by Josh McDaniels to Brian Flores' adjustment, meaning when the Patriots opened up the game that way, and you guys remember the first play, 35-yard run for Damian Harris to the right side where both those tight ends were, it was against Dolphins nickel. So they had five defensive backs on the field. So that's what you should do, right? When you've got those two big tight ends out there and you see five defensive backs, run the ball, run it down their throats. And they did that whole first quarter. They had a great yards per carry average. It was obviously skewed by the one big one, but they had a couple of other chunk runs in that first quarter against Dolphins nickel. At the very end of the first quarter, Brian Flores made a little bit of an adjustment. He said, okay, enough with this. And they run their base defense out there against two tight end packages for the Patriots. And the Patriots did nothing against Dolphins base defense with two tight ends on the field for essentially the rest of the game. And that's supposed to be the advantage of having these two guys on this roster now.
So you're saying I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're saying that's 12 personnel with Damian Harris as the back.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep, 12 personnel. Damian, it was probably Ramondre Stevenson was out there for a couple snaps as well. But 12 personnel, that's your advantage offensively is, okay, you can dictate what the defense is going to do. If they're going to play you nickel, you run it. If they're going to play you base and they're going to put a Landon Roberts on the field, make that guy cover. He can't cover these tight ends. So you throw against that look. Problem was, they couldn't throw against that look. They averaged just over 6 yards per attempt against Dolphins base defense. They definitely couldn't run it against Dolphins base defense. It was like slamming your head against the wall, even out of 12 personnel. Two tight ends on the field, mm-hmm. base defense on the other side, less than 1 yard per carry. So, okay, that's not good, obviously, but the advantage should be in the passing game there. And they still just couldn't pass it effectively. And I think that's why they maybe got away from it a little bit. They're going to need more from those two guys when they're together on the field. Move them forward, because if they can't do more, if they can't throw against base defense, that's what they're going to see all year. I don't expect that to continue that way, but that's what happened in week one. They got away from it because they just plain weren't that productive when they had those two guys on the field together.
And this is the way that they built the offense. But I would also say that historically with the Patriots, when they've used two tight ends to their advantage, there's also been this other guy in there, Welker or Edelman, or there's sort of that guy that always has the ability and has the quickness to get open on short routes. And they don't really have that right now. Zoe and I like to call it the stick movers. They don't have their stick mover in this offense right now, and I think it hurts them. They're missing a key element of what they like to do.
Well, I think you're expecting Jonnu Smith to be that guy, in all honesty, and maybe Hunter Henry as well. Hunter Henry, to me, is just sort of more the shorthanded guy, operator, whereas Jonnu Smith, I think, again, especially if you're seeing extra linebackers on the field to stop the run, they should have no problem generating separation against those guys. So he should be a stick mover for you. James White, I think, will get back to being a stick mover for you. We all saw the beautiful third and long reception that he had down the sideline. He can get back to being a real core piece of this offense when last year he just was not, because they didn't have a quarterback who could put touch on the ball well enough, consistently enough to keep him involved. So you're right. They don't have that same kind of guy. You know, maybe Jacoby Myers becomes that guy too. You know, he's been the slot receiver, even though he's cut a little bit differently than those names you mentioned. They're going to need him to be able to contribute on critical downs. I don't hate the personnel that they have, just because maybe it's just so fresh in my mind how bad they've been the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. The personnel's not bad. They just need to not fumble, and they need the quarterback. Listen, I put part of this on Mac Jones too, that one of those red zone trips, they should have had, you know, an opportunity for a touchdown there. He made a bad throw. It was really one of his couple of bad throws on the day, but it was a bad throw, third down, fourth quarter, to Jacoby Myers to the sideline.
Right,
you
gotta have it. Yep.
Right, you gotta have it.
It was low.
Oh, you know, like, is that because they don't have anybody that can get open? No, it's because the quarterback made a bad throw. Are the fumbles, you know, because nobody could get open? No. So I'm going to hit the pause button on panicking about the personnel right now. I think they have enough to be more productive than they were on Sunday.
All right, Phil, we're going to get into the quarterbacks, and Bill Belichick obviously has a great record against rookie quarterbacks. We've talked about it many times before. When it's a young quarterback, Bill Belichick has often found a way to beat them. Got an email that said, how can we actually look at these Belichick records against rookie quarterbacks when he's been playing all these games against rookie quarterbacks with Tom Brady for the most part? He now has a rookie quarterback of his own. That was from Jimmy, who emailed in. So we've got to address that. Belichick against Zach Wilson on Sunday. And how does Mac Jones follow up his debut of last week, now on the road against the Jets? We're going to talk about that, how each team should approach the quarterback position, both offensively and defensively, from their sides, in a Patriots-Jets matchup happening Sunday. More with Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston. It's coming up next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds.
What do I?
I'm talking about Breer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. Phil Perry with us from NBC Sports Boston. We started off the day talking about Zach Wilson, another rookie quarterback on the other side in this game this weekend. So you had some thoughts early on how the Patriots should approach him. They bear repeating. So go ahead.
Yeah, so Phil, I said, I was listening to Dante Hightower talk about it, and he brought up the comparisons to Mayfield and Mahomes. And I said, ooh, it's interesting he said Mahomes, because earlier in the week, taped a show with the Belustrator where Coach Belichick talked about the Mahomes-type plays that he makes, and that's outside the pocket. The play's never dead, off the back foot, don't fall asleep. The Corey Davis long looping touchdown left to right. So I'm like, okay, how is he going to combat that then? Because if he's talking about Mahomes-type athletic plays, he's telling the defense that was echoed by Hightower. So I'm like, you got to automatically take Juwan Bentley off the field. So I start taking the slower guys, and not slower, but less athletic guys off, and putting more athletic guys on. So I find a way to get Uche Winovich and Judon in the game at the same time on throwing downs, with Dietrich Wise, Hightower in the middle, and Guy, Lawrence Guy, being the other down guy. And if you need a good push, you put Barnmore in as far as leverage.
To add to this update from practice, Kyle Van Noy not at practice today, which means he's not playing on Sunday.
He's not playing Sunday. I would not expect him to play. And it also brings Adrian Phillips down, because you're gonna go nickel with three safeties. So I go nickel, three safeties, get Uche, Winovich, and Judon on to fill at the same time, whatever rotation of other down guys you want. Does that make any sense? I put Guy out. I put Dietrich Wise out there. From his ability just to run and get tall, maybe deflect the pass, the kid's shorter. You know, he seems to move his feet the best of all the big guys. That's all. I think
that makes a lot of sense, though, to have speed on the field. I would say this, though. The names that Hightower mentioned, I noticed that, too. You know, made a note of that. When the Patriots have played Patrick Mahomes, especially in the past, because we've seen them have that matchup several times now.
Good game plans, yep.
Well, they've got good game plans, and usually what they try to do up front is, even though it's good to have speed on the field and you have to be aware of his scrambling ability, he is more a scramble to throw guy than a scramble to run guy. And that typically, with those types of quarterbacks, whether it's Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, and these guys, right, are like the high end comps for Zach Wilson that we heard even before the draft. And I'm not saying he's there yet, but that's sort of the style with which he plays. He likes to move around. He likes to take chances. He's very confident in his athletic ability, in his arm, to be able to scramble around and make throws that most guys would not try. When the Patriots have seen those quarterbacks in the past, they usually deploy this crush rush sort of plan, where they have guys, whether it's Dietrich Wise or maybe even a couple big bodies in the middle. So I wouldn't be shocked if Lawrence Guy was out there on occasion, but Christian Barmore for sure in obvious passing situations. Matt Judon is capable of doing this as well, as a 265-pound outside linebacker. You just drive right into the middle of your blocker, and all you're trying to do is push that human being back into the pocket and crush that pocket around the quarterback who wants to get outside the pocket and use his legs to throw. That sort of crush rush plan, keep the guy in the well, so to speak, is one that they're constantly, it feels like now, trying to use, because they see these athletic quarterbacks week after week after week. So while, again, it's smart to have the speed out there, you want guys who can do a little bit of both. So that's why, again, Dietrich Wise, he's with those long arms, he's a pretty good bull rush guy for them. I think Barmore could do the same thing. You know, you have to be disciplined, though, in that kind of attack, because the last thing you want is somebody who is a one-gapping, tear-up-the-field kind of pass rusher, or at least somebody who has that mindset. Because once you do that, somebody like Wilson or Mayfield or these other guys, they take advantage of that open space. The play lasts for 3.5, 4.5 seconds, and all of a sudden, you're in a scramble drill situation where it's really hard for your defensive backs to plaster, and those guys are getting behind you maybe down the field, or they're running across the field and running away from you, and that's how you get big plays. So that's what I would think they would try to do, is use that crush rush sort of attack against this guy, because that's sort of his style. He's obviously not at the Mahomes level yet, but I think they view him as that kind of quarterback.
So on the flip side of that, let's get to these comments by Matt Cassel on Tom Curran's Patriots Talk podcast. You obviously are very familiar with what you're about to hear, Phil. Here's Matt Cassel talking about Mac Jones withstanding the pressure a week ago.
Did Mac Jones take too much punishment, Matt, in the first game of the year? And were you concerned by that?
He did take a lot of punishment. I mean, he was getting hit a lot. I love the fact that he just kept coming back for more and kept making throws under duress, under pressure. And that's a great sign for this team, that he can take a hit and he's not rattled by it. His composure was incredible. But yes, you don't want Mac Jones taking hits like that consistently throughout the year. And I think that a lot of teams are going to challenge him continuously to pressure him, to see if he'll continue to make those plays under duress. But if the best thing that they can do in Mac Jones himself is go out and continue to make plays when they do pressure him, because it'll stop it. Because big plays usually happen when they do pressure. And if he can recognize it, protect himself with protection, or give him the toolbox to just get the ball out quick, and they hurt somebody when they do pressure, that'll help him. But I don't want to see him get hit a lot. Nobody wants to see their quarterbacks get hit a lot, because it's a long season.
Castle saying that the more pressure he faces, the more he evades it, the more he's able to continue making throws, the less pressure he's going to see because teams are going to wise up that, you know, using an extra defender to try and get to Mac Jones may not pay off. But let's say that happens. Let's say that plays out sooner rather than later. Does that mean things become more difficult throwing the football for Mac Jones?
Let's say what plays out sooner rather than later?
Where they're getting pressure, a team tries to just get pressure with four, and that's it. And
gotcha.
they are not trying to get exotic and trying to get to the quarterback. And instead, they're focusing more on covering the guys that the Patriots do have. Mac Jones, I don't think, is a big threat to run.
He's not. And what's interesting about that, Beetle, if you look back, and it's just a one-game sample, but of the 24 times that I counted the Dolphins blitzed Mac Jones the other day, over 50% of the time, you know, just like an incredible rate and really the worst matchup maybe that, that Mac Jones could have seen in his first pro game. And I thought he handled it well. Of those 24 times he was blitzed, so they're either bringing an added rusher or they're bringing a rusher from someplace that you don't expect, and it's sort of a zone blitz, and it might still end up being a four-man rush, but it's sort of an exotic look. Of those 24 snaps, I counted they only really got pressure on Mac Jones seven times. That's remarkable for a young quarterback to be able to identify the blitz, know where it's coming from, get the football out of his hand. Of course, the offensive line deserves credit for this too. It's a smart group. It's an experienced group up there. And so they did a good job of protecting him in those situations. But for the most part, the way they beat the blitz was to get it out quickly and throw it short. And while that's effective, right, he was 19 for 23 against the blitz. But of those 23 attempts and those 19 completions, he ends up picking up just over 150 yards.
Yep.
And by my math, that's a yards per attempt number of just over 6 yards. In 2021, in today's NFL, 6 yards per attempt isn't winning you many games. So I wonder, now, Robert Saleh is not quite as aggressive as Brian Flores, but he is pretty aggressive. He's not afraid to bring the blitz. They blitzed over 50% of the time the Niners did last year on third down. So he'll blitz Mac Jones.
He's got different players, though. See, that's the thing.
He's got different players. But, yep. But Zoe, wouldn't you be comfortable saying to yourselves, if you're a defense, I know he completed a lot of passes against the blitz, but he didn't really hit anybody for any kind of chunk games.
They didn't give one where they got smoked on it.
They didn't. And if I'm him, 6 yards per attempt, you know, when you're bringing a blitz, that's a win for the defense.
And maybe you test the edge here too. The question is, can you beat the Jets without Trent Brown? Now, I know he's at practice, right?
He is.
Is that the type of injury you want to linger around if that's the one that bugged him with the Raiders? Like, it's almost like, let's get through this week without Trent. Let's win without him. And what would your line be if Trent doesn't play? See, are they in a tough spot where, like, they got to force Trent Brown to play at 80%?
I don't know if they have to have Trent Brown to win this game, because I think the Jets are bad enough that it won't come down to whether or not you're getting professional caliber right tackle play.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they might have that in Yasir Durant. It's front side, you know, and the Jets have a decent front now. Like this kid, John Franklin Myers, hyphenated last name, massive man. He was a terror for the Panthers the other day, and that was the side he was coming off of. And they already have Quinnen Williams. We know he's a very talented guy. Shaq Lawson has bounced around like crazy the last few years, but he continues to get jobs and he continues to play. He had a hurry the other day. So, like, you do have to worry about this offensive line again, because we just talked about it. When the Dolphins blitzed, it wasn't like they were killing Mac Jones. Seven pressures on 24 blitzes. I think it's those straight up four-man rushes that you have to be worried about. Like, if the Patriots can't protect him in those situations, the fact that he got hit, guys, 11 times, I counted 11 hits for Mac Jones the other day.
A couple of them felt more to me than what was reported.
They were wiped. Well, a couple were wiped from the records. Oh, it was interesting because of penalties. So that, you know, that a Landon Roberts hit on Mac Jones that, you know, obviously gave the Patriots life and they end up scoring the touchdown. That hit doesn't go into the books because that play gets wiped from the record once that penalty gets thrown. Mm. It's still a hit. He's still picking himself up off the turf.
Worst one of the day for me.
And that's why Zoe came in Monday, first thing, and Zoe said, those hit statistics are light. He said, in terms of actual hits that this guy took in that game, it's more than nine. It absolutely is. The guy took a beating out there.
I even look at a push at, meaning, okay, he threw the ball, and all of a sudden somebody's getting pushed, and that guy, Jack, he takes his hand and pushes Jones in the back. He doesn't go down. That's still a hit to me. That's getting moved around off your spot.
There was another one that wasn't counted that was in real time. That was Ogba. It was a great throw by Jones. He's backing up to buy himself time, and he finds Jacoby Myers over the middle late in the fourth quarter there. that was a hit too. And it didn't go down in the record books because I don't know. Like, I think sometimes those things just get judged on how hard the quarterback gets hit. But
the balance, because he was fading backwards, I think. You know, he was off fading the back foot.
But you're still picking yourself up off the ground. To be doing that 11 times on 44, including penalties, he dropped back to pass 44 times and had to pick himself up off the turf once out of every four. You're not going to survive the season that way. I don't care how you're built. I know there are a lot of questions about the guy's body type. You could be He-Man and not survive that kind of punishment over the course of what is now a 17-game season. So they have to have that figured out. That's why it would be important for Trent Brown to play. I think it felt like they didn't rule him out the other day on Sunday, and because he was still fully padded and standing on the sidelines, and it felt like this week they were just trying to be overly cautious with him because they do want him to get out there Sunday. I don't know if he will. We'll try to do some digging on that and see what we come up with, but if he can play, that obviously helps them a ton.
All right, I want to get your impressions on Mac Jones, Phil, and what you think of him from a personality standpoint and sort of lasting this season, which could be a challenging season at times. We're already talking about how many times he's been hit. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
You want to talk sports in Boston? You talk to these guys.
That will now be a recycled take.
Right. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Overall, it comes back to just my family and kind of what they've instilled in me. Just always being a team player, and I wasn't necessarily that way when I was really young. I can honestly say that. Sometimes it was more about me than other people, and that's not how it should be. And ever since, I mean, that was when I was really young, but ever since then, I just made it more about the team because that makes it more fun.
This week's Finish Strong Friday Spotlight is Paul Barry from Drake. It's celebrating 6 years as a licensed plumber.
Congratulations.
He's celebrating. Paul Barry. Shout out to Paul.
Congratulations, Paul.
Paul Barry from Drake. It is celebrating 6 years as a licensed plumber, gas fitter, and sheet metal worker. He's the ultimate teammate and finishes every job strong. Thank you from 128 on this Finish Strong Friday.
Do you have anything else on that, Zoe?
Nope.
Just a heartfelt
congratulations. Sergeant's here to give him a salute.
Oh, man. Oh, man. You just heard Mac Jones. Mac Jones, it's all about team with him, Phil. It's all about team. It's never about himself. It's always about team. He won't even take a football. He won't even do it. No shot. Let's just talk about Mac Jones in terms of handling the year. Is this guy as tightly wound as he seems when he speaks? Because when he does speak, and we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now, it's like, wow, is he nervous? Is he is he okay? I mean, he's played in big games and he's been in the spotlight before, and I've seen previous interviews with him where he seems to be has some personality. We haven't gotten any of that since he has become the quarterback of the Patriots.
I think he knows what the program is. And I think he knows what the program expects him to say, how the program expects him to handle himself. And so that's what we're seeing at the podium. I choose to take moments that we see from him that are unscripted time, whether it's him during, go all the way back to his games at Alabama. I mean, he's throwing touchdown passes and he's doing the Dougie, essentially walking back to the Alabama bench or at his pro day when he runs this sort of wonky, 1920s style, quarterback receiving option play just for kicks, right? And he's laughing it up as Landon Dickerson, who's the center at Alabama, is doing cartwheels in the background of an interview that he's conducting with NFL Network. You know, even at training camp practice, like, he's going up to guys. This stood out to me. One of the most memorable moments of camp where he's just going back and forth with the Patriots defense and had a chance to go up against the Patriots ones. And he essentially, the way I described it was he kind of broke a drill, right? So they had this 2-minute drill set up and he scored, I think, earlier than was expected. So I think he was thinking he was going to come off the field because he had just, you know, driven the team down and he had thrown a long touchdown pass, 20, 25 yards, somewhere along those lines. They kept him out there and he scored again. And he goes up to Matt Judon and he holds up the two, like it's the two. Peace sign, right in Judon's face. Mm-hmm. Because I think there had been some exchange before that. Judon likes to talk. We know that. He's acknowledged that. And so this is a confident guy. This is a guy who has all sorts of ability to relate to teammates in the locker room. And I think a lot of that is because of the work he puts in and because he is in some ways tightly wound. But I don't think we're getting the full Mac Jones at the podium. If you're looking for that in terms of personality, you're not going to get it there.
I agree. And I hear this a lot too, that, you know, it's kind of opiate and it's like the, oh, shucks, golly gee. I don't think it's any of that. I think he's very well trained. I think he understands the situation. And I think from a comfort level, walking in here, you get here and you get around Belichick and you get around the reporters and you get around what it is and the questions and the constant, he's the guy. He's replacing the guy. He knows that now. So I think he understands that everything I say is going to be scrutinized, going to be talked about, whether good, whether bad. And I just think he's not giving you anything right now. I don't think he's 100% comfortable to where, you know, you walk in a press conference room. He doesn't know you, Phil. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know Mike Reese. He sees faces. But gone right now is 6 weeks of what you would have had to sort of maybe personally have some discussions with the guy off the record where maybe he would feel comfortable. So he's walking into a cold room every single time he does it. And they've got to be policing him. I know they do. They police everybody. And that's not from a negative standpoint. That's, hey, that's how we do things here. And gratefully, you were in Alabama where things were done pretty similar to what we do. And that's a good thing for him. I think that'll help the transfer. I just think that's who he is. I just think, you know, don't take the credit, you know, deflect blame, say all the right things. He's a walking cliche. And whether it's boring to you, too bad. Kid ain't going anywhere. This is what you get. But I do think he understands the pressure situation he's walked into. If that makes any sense.
I think that's key, right? He understands that you're a starting quarterback for an NFL franchise, not just Brady's any franchise either. Yeah. You're replacing Tom Brady, and you're now the face of an organization that's one of the most successful sports franchises anywhere over the last two decades.
Smart kid,
and so he understands he understands the responsibility that comes with that. But again, you're not getting the full Mac Jones experience at the podium. There's a brashness there. There's a confidence there. You know, go back to yesterday. Sean Wade, who's this new Patriots corner, played 7-on-7 football, I guess, with Mac Jones down in Florida. They won some tournaments. They played against Cam Newton's 7-on-7 team. And it sounds like Mac Jones was talking trash to Cam Newton's 7-on-7 team en route to a 7-on-7 championship. And that's a long time ago. But, you know, even go back to before the season started in training camp where they had the rookie skits and players were, I think, surprised by how funny and how out there Mac Jones was in impersonating Cam Newton. That was the theme this year, I guess, was the rookies kind of impersonating guys in their position group rooms. And so Mac Jones, for part of his skit, he's up there and he's trying to be Cam Newton. And I think it kind of shocked some guys at how funny it was, but how sort of, I don't want to say,
relatable.
You know, risque. No, I think they were just surprised that he kind of went at Cam to be in a funny way. Like, he obviously respected Cam, and I think they had a pretty good relationship while the two of them were here. But I think it caught a couple guys that didn't know Mac Jones all that well early in training camp a little bit off guard. And I think it was an indication of just how comfortable and confident this guy is as you know, being the center of attention.
Do you think sort of the seriousness of how he's handled the gig so far is helping his case with other players on the team? It's sort of helping him, you know, adapt and sort of blend into the group. I mean, he's caught on to the Patriot way, as you said. You know, he knows what the system is. He knows what's expected of him. Playing for Nick Saban had to have helped in some regard. Do you think that that's sort of earned him the respect of veterans faster, the way he's gone about his business?
Yes, no doubt. I mean, yeah, the confidence is one thing, but if you're confident and then you're going home as soon as meetings are over because you can, you're not going to get the respect of guys like Matthew Slater and Devin McCourty and Dante Hightower. And they all notice those kinds of things that have made really good players here, really good players. You know, Dante Hightower a couple weeks ago talking about, you know, he learned, you know, late in training camp that Mac Jones had started, you know, trying to study Patriots defensive calls and Patriots defensive concepts just because he wanted to know more. And he wanted to, whether it's be more comfortable in a practice situation going against the Patriots defense, or maybe even be more comfortable week one going against a Patriots style defense run by Brian Flores, he was putting in that extra work, not just to know his job, but to know everything football that he possibly can going into week one. You know, and it sounds like he's, you know, to do enough to impress those veteran guys, I think you have to do a lot. Can he keep that up? Like that's one thing that I'll be interested to see. He is doing all the right things on the field, off the field, work ethic. It seems like he really does truly love football, and you have to, I think, already have a lot of, you know, nuanced parts of that position already to his game. But how does he sustain? What is his competitive stamina like? Those are the kinds of things that we're going to find out about this guy as we move forward here this rookie season for him.
All right, Phil, I want to ask you if this game on Sunday is a must win for the Patriots. We'll get to that coming up right after this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Zone Beetle.
Phone lines are always open for you.
Answer the phone.
Give us, if you want to call up out of the blue.
Answer the phone.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boogie nights. Boogie nights. Don't. Boogie nights. This also could be Heaven by Gloria Gaynor. Heaven must have sent you. Everybody copies everybody's music. What's that M stand for, Phil? Muck?
Magnificent. That's what Phil Perry is.
Mooch.
Could be anything.
As he joined
Mac? I don't know.
Mac.
It might stand for must win.
Oh.
Is this a must win game for the Patriots, Phil Perry?
I don't think so, just because it's so early.
You're nuts.
I don't.
Oh, you're insane. Your partner over there at NBC Sports Boston is going to shave an eyebrow and wear them stupid flowered shirts he always wears if they don't take care of business here.
Right.
If they don't cover.
Now, they should win.
Is it a must win?
They shouldn't win.
Is it a must win if we can say you want to be having a respectable record by the end of, let's say, October?
Well, you're chalking up Tampa Bay as a loss, I would assume, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Which other games are you not feeling confident about
Cowboys.
Thereafter?
I'm not feeling confident
Cowboys,
about much of
Saints.
Anything at this point. That could change.
Yeah.
That could change this weekend. But
I don't know. Going on a road to Houston's is usually a house of horrors for us.
I'm just thinking the Saints look a little different now. That not game looks a little. And it's not a whorehouse.
It's just too early.
Some horrors.
It's just too early. I mean, listen, they started 2-2. We all know, right? 2014, they start 2-2. They end up winning the Super Bowl. If they start 1-3 this year, is it the end of the year? It's great. And no, you're probably not going to have a great record by the end of October. But is it a must win? Is the season over? No, I'm not going there. You've got a rookie quarterback. You've got a team full of new players that are understanding how to play together. They're learning each other. And so 2 weeks in, I don't think it's possible. Even though this team is bad, the Jets are bad. They should win this game. I'm not calling it a must win.
You should.
Why? Because we got to find something to freak out about? I mean, I don't want to.
I just think
I understand.
If you want them to be a double-digit win team, or you think they should be, dropping the first two against division opponents is a really, really bad start in reaching that goal.
You're not wrong.
And I think that that goal comes into doubt much sooner than it ever really should have.
But if you see the quarterback continue to play well,
I'm going to cut you off, Phil.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
No, you can't just rely on, if the quarterback plays well. The quarterback playing well has to translate into wins.
It's pretty important.
It should have. No. I agree with you. But I'm saying you can't brush off losses because your quarterback played well. And there was a lot of that going on this week. And I find that really irritating. And I think that, fine, you let it slide in week one. But the more you get into the season, if that's happening, that's a serious problem. You're supposed to be able to convert that into wins in this league. And if you're not,
I agree.
You've got real issues with your team.
I don't know why you're yelling.
Because
you're not yelling at me. You're not telling me anything.
I'm sensitive to it this week, Phil.
No, I get
it. I've heard a lot of that.
It's a long week.
I'm trying to wake your ass up, Phil.
Gosh, couple of late night games. I understand. Monday night. I'm still recovering from Monday night. Never mind last night. you're not wrong. I get it. I just think that must win thing in week two, like there's no such thing in my opinion. That's just my take on it. I understand why people would be concerned, why people be extremely concerned if they lose to this team, because it's this team in particular and they're not very good.
You're better than them, period.
You're better than them. But Zoe, how much do we really know about this Patriots team? I mean, like until they score more than 16 points, until they do a better job protecting their quarterback and they don't allow him to be hit 11 times, once out of every four dropbacks. Yeah. I'm not calling any game a layup. I don't care how bad the Jets are. We just don't know enough about these Patriots just yet. And it's not to take them off the hook, but who knows what they are.
Right.
And that to me, again, is, you know, it's another reason why I don't look at it as a must win, because I think it's going to be hard to know what this team is through 2 weeks. And it's on either side. I think if they blow out the Jets, nobody's going to be sky high on this team. And I feel like, if they lose, unless they get blown out and, you know, there's injuries everywhere, I just don't think you should go too far in the other direction either. That's just me, though. And I know that's not great for the radio, but that's just me trying to be, I don't know, rational. Can we do that?
Sure.
I don't know. It's not fun, but I'll every once in a while I'll do it.
I mean, rational, fine and all, but like we're doing sports radio here. You know what the calls will be next week if they're 0-2? Do you understand what's going to happen next week if they show up 0-2?
I get it. Oh. I get it. And it's not even fair for me to compare 2014, right? Because they had Tom Brady. And they had a really good roster back then that we knew what it was.
With all those 0-2 starts, you had that one thing and it was called Tom Brady.
I get it. I still won't go must win. Do you guys think this is a layup? You think this is a double digit win?
I don't.
That one of our easy, you know, big questions today was, do you think the Jets will be competitive in this game?
I said, yep.
Do you think that, you know, the game is in doubt in the second half? And I think that answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I respect Robert Saleh enough to say that I think it'll be competitive. Yeah. I mean, I still, you know, we put out our little prediction yesterday. I think I had it as a 10-point win for the Patriots, but that's a two-possession game. You know, you have somebody cough it up when they shouldn't. All of a sudden, you know, that game's in doubt. So they should win. They should win easily. Tom Curran shouldn't have to shave an eyebrow.
Thank God.
Yeah. No, we don't want that. Don't need that.
It could, to answer the people's obvious question out there, it could get worse. Yes, if he has to shave an eyebrow. No, that's a problem for everybody.
We're going to have to watch that on TV.
We're going to have to look at that.
Oh, my God. I'd pay money to see that.
So he shouldn't have to do that. But I just think he's a smart guy. It's a defense that isn't quite, you know, I asked Bill Belichick about their defense today. I think we fall into the habit of just calling it the Seattle style cover three. And it is, that's the foundation of it. But he went into detail, Belichick did today, about how they have other coverages. And Castle told us this on the Patriots Talk podcast. They'll run some cover four quarters coverage. They'll mix it up. They'll try to play with Mac Jones in terms of, okay, is it too high coverage? Is it single high? And then you have to figure out what your reads are based off of that. They like to blitz on third down. They'll probably blitz them in the red zone too. And again, if you've got any issues at right tackle, even if you don't, even if Trent Brown's out there, they're going to try to get after him a little bit because the Patriots didn't exactly prove that they could kill a blitz. They could survive it, but they couldn't kill it the other day. And I think Robert Saleh will probably try to do something similar.
All right, Phil, appreciate your time as always. We'll hear from you Sunday on Patriots Preview here on the Sports Hub.
Looking forward to it. All right, have a good weekend, guys.
Talk to you then. Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston, will be joined by RJ Bell of pregame.com and Fox Sports Radio. He'll be with us right after these headlines.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.